We want to read again the portion of Matthew 7, 13, and 14 that deals with the straight gate, according to King James. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, when I was growing up in the truth, I would hear the brethren talk about straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And when I was a boy, I thought they meant a gate that was in a straight line, you know, straight this way, and so forth. Well, I had the wrong spelling, of course, of the word straight. I was thinking S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. And after a while, I finally figured out, as I read my Bible there, that that's not the way it was spelled. And so finally, I learned that this word straight had a different meaning than just something in a straight line. And of course, as Brother Comey has already said, the word straight actually does mean narrow. That's exactly what it means. It means narrow. And the word gate is an entranceway, also, as Brother Comey said. It's the same word, whether it's you were talking about the straight or narrow gate, or if you're talking about the wide gate. The gate is an entranceway, or you could think of it as a door in other terms. And we're going to refer to a couple of scriptures that speak in terms of a door as opposed to a gate. And so we could say, when you would combine the words together, straight gate means a narrow gate, a narrow entrance, a narrow door. And I like the word entrance because it emphasizes that it signifies the beginning of something. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Now, also in these verses, it talks about what is beyond this narrow gate, this straight gate, and it's referred to as a narrow way. Now we have two uses of the word narrow, but if you look back in the Greek, it's two different words. Now the word narrow in narrow way has the thought of crowding to a compressed way, a contracted way, one that has distress, affliction, trouble to press hard upon. You know, and that has a little different thought than strictly narrowness as far as dimensions are concerned. And we'll talk about that a little more. And the word way has a thought of a road, a journey. And it implies also progress in such a journey, a route, the actual act of journeying on a road. A traveled way is another synonym. It can also, in a metaphorical sense, refer to a way of conduct, a way of thinking, a way of making decisions, a course of conduct in our life. And so we might summarize the thought of narrow way as being a difficult road, a difficult course of conduct, a journey in which afflictions press hard against us. So what is Jesus talking about when he refers to this straight gate, which then leads to the narrow way, which leads to life? Well, we want to mention two general points, and then we'll get into a few more specifics. Generally speaking, when Jesus is talking about the straight gate, he's talking about the means by which those who are seeking the heavenly kingdom enter into covenant relationship with him. That's the means by which they enter into covenant relationship with him. That's the straight gate. Now, the second point is that the process of fulfilling that covenant relationship by following a way of life that leads us to that heavenly kingdom, that is the narrow way which leads unto life, Jesus said. Now, there's another set of scriptures that refers to the straight gate. And it's in a context of Luke, the 13th chapter. And we're only going to read one verse. But I'll give you the whole context, and if you want to read it in your leisure time, you can. It's in Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 22 through 30. We're only going to read verse 24. Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And you know, if you read on in that context, Jesus talks about particularly the religious leaders of Israel who were there listening to his words. And, you know, one of the points he was making to them was that, you know, some of them were as if they were standing at this gate or this door and they were wanting to enter in, so to speak. But they were not allowed to enter in because the Lord says, I don't know who you are. You know, your works are not the kind of work. Your heart is not in a proper condition to enter into this new relationship with me. And in fact, in the 27th verse of this chapter 13 of Luke, he says, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And he talks about the fact in verse 29 that there would be, you know, there will be those that come from the east and the west and the north and the south to enter through this straight gate. But some of them that were closest to him at that time, they would not be able to enter in. And he concludes the context by saying, behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now, another context that we want to refer to also that doesn't refer to a straight gate, but refers to a door. And that's in John, the 10th chapter. And once again, I'll just give you the context. It's verses 7 through 15. We're just going to read a couple of the verses. In John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, he's picturing himself as an entranceway to some other condition, to some condition. And then two verses later, John 10, verse 9, he expounds a little bit, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then he goes on further and he talks about being the, you know, being the good shepherd and that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep and so forth. Now, with these three sets of verses, Matthew 7, 13, and 14, Luke 13, 22 to 30, and John 10, 7 through 15, we really have the scriptural basis for just what this straight gate or narrow door, narrow entranceway really pictures and what it means. And we're going to make 8 points briefly as we go further in our lesson. Point number one. The straight gate represents Jesus. And this is shown in the fact that our Lord in that John chapter 10 account identifies himself by saying, I am the door. I am the entranceway. I mean, you can't get any plainer words than that. He is the means by which we enter into a covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father. And we might add to that that he is the only gate. He is the only door. Point number two, these scriptures show us that one must know and be known of God and his son Jesus in order to enter through the straight gate. You remember we mentioned in the Luke chapter 13 account where the Lord says to some, I know you not. And those who he said he knew not, we're not allowed to enter into that symbolic, that door. And also in the John account, John 10 verse 8, it talks about the fact that the sheep do not hear the voice of thieves and robbers, but they do hear the voice of Jesus. So there's a level of understanding as to who is being dealt with here. There's a mutual knowledge that comes through the steps, and we've had these steps talked about yesterday and today, the step of being drawn to the Heavenly Father, the step of being called by the Heavenly Father, called with an holy calling, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. So there must be some mutual knowledge between one who wants to enter that straight gate and the Heavenly Father and his son Jesus before that entrance can be gained. Point number three, a proper heart condition is required before one will be invited or called to enter through the straight gate. You know, in the Luke account, chapter 13, verse 27, it says that these workers of iniquity, or these teachers of iniquity, would not be allowed to enter the straight gate. Why? Because their works of iniquity were based on a heart condition that was not right with the Heavenly Father. Rather, we understand that those who are able to enter into the straight gate must have the heart condition which the psalmist describes in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Point number four, the name or the title or the position in this world or position according to the flesh does not constitute the qualification for entrance through that straight gate. You know, at the end of that Luke account, chapter 13, verse 30, the Lord says, "There are those that are last that shall be first, and there are first that shall be last." And I think what he meant was that there are those that are last in respect to man's judgment, and generally speaking, they're more likely to be first in God's judgment as far as being able to enter through the straight gate. But those that are first in man's judgment or in the judgment of this world perhaps might be last from God's perspective as being in a condition of heart to enter into the straight gate. And it reminds us of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 26 through 29. We won't read the entire context, but you remember the Apostle Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." That's the thought here, that, you know, our position in this world, or according to the flesh, is not what qualifies us for entrance through the straight gate. Point number five, entering through the straight gate is a voluntary decision, a voluntary action. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter through the straight gate." It doesn't say that God pushes us through the straight gate. It says, "Enter through the straight gate." That is an action that we must do. And of course, entering through that straight gate really is shown by making an acceptable consecration, answering the call that has been given to us, making an acceptable consecration to the Heavenly Father. And only we can make that decision. Point number six, entering through the straight gate, when you combine the thought of the gate representing Jesus and it being a voluntary action of consecration or represented through consecration, that means then that entering through the straight gate signifies obtaining a relationship with the Heavenly Father through justification. In John, the 10th chapter, in verse 9, Jesus said that those who enter through that door or through that gate would be saved. And really this thought of being saved has the thought of being made whole, being justified in God's sight, being made free from Adamic condemnation. As Paul says in Romans 5:9, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Point number seven, the straightness or the narrowness of the gate implies several important things. And we'll just list them very quickly. You know, the narrowness of the gate means that we must leave behind most of our baggage. You know, the baggage of the flesh, the baggage of the world, the baggage of its spirit. There's not room for these to enter through that narrow door, that narrow gate. And yet even with that, some of it still manages to come along with us, doesn't it? The narrowness of the gate also means that it's generally, you know, it's unattractive to the natural man. Brother Comey brought out that, you know, the wide gate boy, it looks beautiful. It's a big, wide gate, beautifully ornamented, probably beautifully made. No, this is just a little narrow gate. Doesn't look like much. Pretty unattractive. But that's the gate that we have entered, isn't it? Few there be that find it, Jesus said. The narrowness of that gate also shows that we must be then looking for it. We must be searching for it. You know, the wide gate you can see from a long ways away. The narrow gate, you've got to be drawn to it. You have to be looking for it, searching for it, hungering for it. And that straightness, that narrowness of the gate emphasizes that one name by which we can enter, our Lord Jesus. Point number 8, our last point that we want to mention. And that is very important because, you know, the whole purpose of this gate is not to just stand in the doorway. It's to enter on through to its other side. And what is on the other side? Well, Jesus says it is the narrow way that is on the other side. Now, as we said, this phrase narrow way, it doesn't necessarily mean narrow from the point of dimensions. You know, the narrow gate is a pretty restrictive reference when we talk about the narrow gate. But the narrow way has more the thought of the experiences that we are going to have after we enter in through the gate, the experiences of walking in the paths of righteousness and walking after the example of our Lord. It's going to cause trials to come. It's going to cause difficulties to come. And that is going to sort of compress upon us. That's what makes the narrow way narrow. But what else is on the other side of this straight gate? Well, Jesus said that on the other side of that gate is the way and it leads to life. That's the goal, isn't it? Glory, honor, immortality, the divine nature. That's, you know, if it was just a narrow way and there was going to be a lot of trials and there's nothing at the end of that course, then perhaps, you know, no one would enter it. But it leads to life. Now, in John, the 10th chapter, Jesus also tells us that there is pasture once we enter through that door. Spiritual food, the truth, and how joyful and thankful we are that we have that truth as we have gone out into this pasture, so to speak, of truth that we have received. And this food gives us the strength needed to walk in that narrow way. Jesus also said that beyond this straight gate, there's other sheep. You know, we're not walking alone in this narrow way. There are others of our brethren who are there with us, other sheep of this fold. And Jesus also said, and this is very important, that the Good Shepherd is also with us in that narrow way. He's not only the door, he's not only the straight gate by which we enter that way, but he's the shepherd there with us, guiding and directing us and overseeing the flock. Well, the last thing that Jesus says is, there's a couple of negative things in that way too. He says there's hirelings. A hireling is one who works for money. And I think we're not going to comment on that in particular, except to say that, you know, those perhaps represent the temptations that come into our life that we have to stay away from and be guided against. And then lastly, he talks about there's false teachers, false sheep perhaps, false prophets.